it wouldn't be 100%. You know, I can assure you that. You know, we didn't compete as you indicate, as certainly as well as we're capable of, not nearly as much as well as I would like. And I think, you know, that's not just me saying that. I think our players understand that as well. They were embarrassed by it, as everyone was. And again, all this, you can't take away the fact that Oklahoma is an extremely talented, well-coached, fine football team. That I think goes without saying. But we're capable of being a far better football team.
It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Riley Gates, our K-State insider and former high school football and basketball star.
Vinary fumbles the snap, picks it back up. Pressure comes from Luke Eilert. He backs into the end zone, and Blue Jays are going to get two more points. Riley Gates back there, as well as Caleb Brummer.
Okay, so he isn't Darren Sproles or Dean Wade. Cool last name, by the way. But Riley's knowledge knows no bounds.
I love Whataburger. I really like the patty melt. The patty melt is really good. It's like a double burger, so you get the traditional burger. You're not going with chicken or anything like that. But just kind of the sauce that's on the patty melt. I really like it.
And he's already working on his political career.
We never lied. I don't know what you're talking about. We were never liars.
It's Go Powercats' very own Riley Gates. Brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit. And by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Right now on the Sports Ticket.
All right. Riley Gates, our main man to talk K-State athletics every single Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket, joins us. Just your average, ordinary trip to Norman right there, Riley?
Well, you know, the weirdest thing about it was that I did, in fact, go to Whataburger and not get a patty melt.
You did not disappoint me there. I was hoping you might go that route. That's so funny. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed what you had at Whataburger. I'm glad you're able to make that stop there. Maybe Bill Snyder should have taken the team there and might have felt better about things coming back from Norman. Wow. I mean, you didn't like this matchup going in. And, boy, that was just – I don't even know how to describe it other than a complete and colossal failure.
You know, it was everything we expected and then multiplied it by, like, 10.
Yeah.
You know, we all kind of thought that it would be a loss, and a lot of us thought that it really wouldn't be a very close game at all just because the talent was far more bountiful on the Oklahoma side. But, man, to go in there to – You know, when I was writing my story, I think I said that Oklahoma delivered the crushing right blow at the start of the boxing match, and instead of getting up off the mat, K-State just laid down, and that's exactly what they did. You know, not only were they outmatched in this one, not only were they the far worst team just in terms of pure talent, they really didn't even, you know, I'm going to say it, they really didn't even try that hard. Once Oklahoma got up by a lot, they just kind of laid down and died, and that's why you saw, you know, it's funny because it was a far less worse spread, point spread, than the 55-0 home loss in 2015. But I'm still going to say that this last weekend was worse than 2015.
It was really bad. I guess, you know, when you have national TV commentators calling out the team, that's never a good sign. And Joe Klatt did that during the Fox broadcast about the lack of discipline and the lack of effort. And if he sees it, and you saw it, and many people saw it, that's got to be the most disturbing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it was kind of the perfect play. You know, he did it right after I saw the clip of it, at least. He did it right after Eli Walker got that, you know, in sportsmanlike conduct or unnecessary roughness. I'm not sure what the call was, but... And it's perfect, you know. Eli got that call because Eli was wanting to get pulled out of the game. He didn't want to play in that game anymore. And obviously, when you're losing by that much, you're going to get frustrated. And it's sounding like, you know, tensions, as if they weren't already, tensions have already boiled into the locker room, off the field. I mean, it's like everything that we, you know, I think I warned everybody on this show, you know, don't get too excited about that Oklahoma State game because it's just kind of been the outlier so far in this year. You know, it's been about the only good week. Every other week has seen them either you know, lose a disappointing game, not play that well, get away with it. You know, whatever the whatever the description of that week is, Oklahoma State was an outlier, I guess what I'm trying to say. And this Oklahoma game was by far the biggest black eye on the season.
Bill Snyder said after the game, have to address the ship and its condition. Is this a ship that, like the Titanic, is going to hit the iceberg and sink? Or is this a ship that can somehow be repaired and right its course on the waters?
I don't see any way that it can be repaired, at least this season. You know, you've got four games left, and you're 3-5, so you've got to win three of the next four. That includes a road trip to TCU, a home game against KU, who is still KU, but looks like they're playing a little bit better. You've got to play Texas Tech, who has a far improved defense, and then you've got to go to Iowa State in the last week of the season. So I don't like you to win three of those four games. I barely like you to win one of those games. So I don't see any way that it can be righted this season. And, you know, from everything we're being told, from everything that's kind of unfolding with this team, both both in the public eye, whether it's a press conference, whether it's on Twitter, or, you know, the things that are going on behind closed doors that we're being told of, I don't really see it being righted this season, you know, or excuse me, in the future. And I think that's kind of why my boss, Tim Fitzgerald, wrote that story at GoParacat.com on Monday. It's time for Bill Snyder to step aside and let someone else take over this, because it's run its course, and frankly, I don't really see how it can improve from here. You're not going to get a big influx of talent moving forward. You're not going to recruit a top 20 recruiting class, and you're losing players almost daily, it seems like. They're down to 25 scholarship players have left the team since 2017. That's an absurd number, and it seems to be getting worse weekly.
Go PowerCast, Riley Gates with us every Tuesday, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. And you mentioned Fitz's story. And, you know, when you're reading that story, you can feel Fitz's pain while he wrote it. I mean, it's not a story he wanted to write. It's not a story he enjoyed writing. And I don't think there's a lot of K-State fans that enjoy talking about how the guy that saved Kansas State football needs to step aside. But at the same time, you present some really compelling evidence that it is time to step aside. Well, first of all, the lack of effort is never a good sign for a coach at any level. The lack of discipline, but then also the recruiting situation. And I know you're well aware of it, and we had John Kurtz on a few weeks ago to talk about this as well. And one thing that stood out to from what you and him have told us is that the coaches are not on the same page. And you had the good old days of, you know, Tom Hayes and Dana Dimmel and Bill Snyder, and that group got broken up. You went with the young coaches, which we thought would provide some extra energy for Coach Snyder, and that's with something that needed to be done. But you're changing not one but two coordinators, and then they're all co-coordinators, which is always fun and confusing and complicated even more. And they're not on the same page when it comes to recruiting. Coach Snyder has a vision of what he wants to run offensively. The younger coaches have their vision, thus why I think they butt heads over the whole quarterback situation when Delton was healthy as to who to play. And Riley, if you're not on the same page within your own coaching staff and on the sideline, and when you go out and recruiting, how in the world can you be a successful program?
Well, yeah, that's the point is, you've got Colin Klein and I would assume Andre Coleman early in the season wanting Skylar Thompson to play quarterback, and then you've got Bill Snyder wanting to play Alex Delton. I mean, that's the first of the known discrepancies, and I know for a fact that people coaches want to hit the road, you know, whether it's a Friday night and they're at TCU and they want to go out to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and watch some high school kids. They want to go out and recruit. They want to see people in action, but you know, you need to be focused on the team, Bill Snyder says. They only recruit in season 1 week a year, and that's the bye week, and they barely get any time. There's so much to be said about Coach Snyder's work ethic when it comes to preparing for the teams ahead of him. You know, he does it almost better than anybody in the country in terms of the amount of work he puts in, that he doesn't necessarily see the big picture. He doesn't necessarily think towards the future, think 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line. And that's where those discrepancies in the coaching staff begin. And then in the times that they do get to go out and recruit, you know, let's say, you know, I'm not saying this has happened, but I mean, it's a scenario that you can see a talented kid out on the field and some assistant coaches want to recruit him, but he may not fit the exact, you know, personality mold, let's say, that Bill Snyder wants out of a kid. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's so many different voices in this room, I think. I don't think they're collectively going after kids that they all necessarily feel the same about. And I guess you're kind of seeing it transpire on the field right here. I mean, they don't have any talent at, you know, like wide receiver. They're not very talented. You can see that the depth is not good in the secondary as they slowly lose people. I mean, and I think this, again, it all goes back to who you're targeting and how much work you're putting in on them.
I try to put myself in the shoes of, and you're a lot closer to this age than I am, of course, and that is, if you were an 18-year-old coming out of high school and you were a talented football player, what's the sales pitch for Kansas State and Kansas football right now? And why would you, if you're a really good recruit, why would you go to K-State or KU? And for me, you know, I've said for a long time, David Beatty's dead man walking. He's got a new boss, and unless they, you know, pull one out of the fire here and win a couple games, he's probably still going to be not the coach next year for KU. And most kids know that, and their parents know that. With Kansas State, you know the situation. You have a head coach that's 78, 79 years of age, and if they're interested in Kansas State, the reason they're going to choose Kansas State, if they do now, is because, one, they don't have a lot of great offers out there maybe from bigger programs, and they like Kansas State University and are going to choose the university instead of the coach, which is the way it's always supposed to be. But as you and I both know, you usually choose a program based on the coach or coaches that recruit you. And if you've got a pitch out there where Colin Klein's going into your house saying, hey, man, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and then the kid goes, well, yeah, that's great, Coach Klein, but Coach Snyder, I see Delton coming out there. I see you guys not on the same page. I just don't know how that can help you when you try to recruit when you're not on the same page like that. And kids aren't stupid.
Well, yeah, that, and then, you know, you could be a recruit and watch Skylar Thompson do what he's done this season and then listen to a press conference and say, Skylar Thompson's done everything that he could do for this team, and yet, you know, he's been thrown under the bus.
Yes.
He's been not exactly appreciated, and it doesn't exactly reflect well on recruits. And also, you know, the obvious one, the I guess, tagline that people have used against Bill Snyder for years, how much longer is he going to coach? You know, I don't know how you – and I'm really honestly curious as to how they do it, how you go into a recruit's house and tell them, you know, try to convince them to play for a 79-year-old head coach that evaluates his future after every single season. You know, I think it's, you know, I don't necessarily mean that a knock on Bill Snyder. I don't know how they do it, because it's rather tough, I would say, to convince them that he's going to be around for their entire career. And then if he's not, you know, there's no telling who the next head coach is. So it's definitely a tough sell, given the age, given the, like you mentioned, the discrepancies, the disagreements, and so forth. And, you know, it's getting to that point where you're kind of like, man, who can sell their program better right now? Is it K-State, who has the tradition but is currently sinking downhill, or is it KU, who, you know, is bringing in new facilities, is maybe going to make a coaching change and might have a brighter future ahead?
Is there any way that Gene Taylor and Kansas State is able to force Bill Snyder out? Because here's my feeling. It's either Bill Snyder's going to do it on his own, and he's going to step aside at the end of the season or maybe before the year's over, which I don't think is going to happen. He's going to look at this at the end of the year. So he said in teleconference yesterday, I do it every year. I look at things from year to year, like you mentioned, and make his own decision. But if he doesn't come to the conclusion that it's time to step aside, do you think there's any scenario where Kansas State University and Gene Taylor will coax or try to force or highly convince Bill Snyder to step aside if he really wants to come back?
You know, I think that's a pretty difficult line that you're telling there, just in terms of, you know, telling the architect of the greatest turnaround in college football history that he needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think the conversation more so goes in the direction of, how does Coach Snyder see the future? How, if he were to return, what does he see doing? You know, I think he would have to present changes.
Yes.
You know, what's he going to do differently to make it better? Because at the end of the, you know, you can say, hey, this is Bill Snyder's program. He built it. His name's on the stadium. There's a statue of him. But at the end of the day, this is K-State's football program, not Bill Snyder's football program, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And while he has somewhat earned the right to decide when he hangs it up, he has not earned the right to stay as ever long as he wants when it's going down. And I think that's the the tough conversation that Gene Taylor's going to have. And, you know, it's kind of funny. That's what a lot of fans want right now. They want Gene Taylor to say, Coach, thank you for everything you've done, but we need to go a different direction. That's what they want Gene Taylor to do. And you know, in my limited time knowing Gene Taylor, knowing the way he works, he just doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to tell Bill Snyder he needs to go. Maybe, like I said, work with him. But it's funny because I think John Curry would be a guy that would easily do that, you know. And if you're a K-State fan, now you're kind of thinking, maybe we would like to have John Curry back. So it's going to be – I don't envy being in Gene Taylor's shoes right now because I wouldn't want to have that conversation with Coach. I know it's going to be a difficult one, but it's definitely one that needs to be had, whether or not it's retiring or whether it's coming back for another season. You know, I'm not sure what direction it's going to have, but it certainly sounds like there's a lot of smoke right now towards the conversation being about this one being the last year.
Well, they say people can always change, but when you're 78, 79 years old and you've had all the success that Bill Snyder's had, I just don't see him changing very much. Do you?
No, and we've seen it. You know, I hate to keep beating the dead horse about recruiting, but that's the biggest thing. You know, anymore, you need to be constantly watching kids, contacting them on social media, calling them, whatever. And, you know, back in 1997, 8, 9, you could focus on your team during the season and then recruit after. You could hit those JUCO kids late in the year and pick them up, a Michael Bishop, say. But now you need to be on kids 2-3 years in advance. You need to be constantly talking to them. You need to be on JUCO kids earlier than you think you need to. And unfortunately, Coach Snyder believes that the best way to have K-State football succeed is to focus on the current season and then worry about recruiting. And that's the way it used to work, and that's fine. But now anymore, it doesn't. And I think that's the biggest example as to why this doesn't – as to why he's not changing. You know, if he's not going to change recruiting, who's – to say he's not going to change, or who say he's ever going to change his offense, who say he's ever going to change the way he schedules, things like that. And, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and that's the most telling or most truthful thing you can say about Bill Snyder right now.
Go Powercats, Riley Gates with us every Tuesday, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. I just thought of this, Riley, and I'm really interested in your input. You've got Kansas State's schedule. You mentioned at TCU. They host Kansas, and I want to stop right there. The KU-K-State game on November 10th. Some K-State fans, if you really look at this to get what you might want, this would be two birds with one stone that could help the program in the future. And this may sound crazy, but Kansas State, with a loss to Kansas in Manhattan this season, I think that could be that nail in the coffin for Bill Snyder in regards with the fan base just saying, oh, my God, that's it. If we can't beat Kansas at home in Manhattan, then it's absolutely positively. We think the seat's a little hot for Bill Snyder now. That would, one, end their bowl hopes more than likely, and two, you lose your in-state rival. But if you're a K-State fan and you want Bill Snyder to move on, that might expedite things a little bit. Plus, that could save David Beatty's job at Kansas. And I think K-State fans aren't exactly scared of David Beatty as a head coach there, but if Brett Bielema or somebody else becomes a head coach under Jeff Long, AD at Kansas, you're more worried about what Kansas can do with a new coach. You see where I'm going with that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think a lot of people have said that. You know, they've said, I don't want to lose to KU, but maybe if we lose to KU, you know, maybe Coach Snyder will step down. And, you know, it's a very tough situation to say one side or the other for sure, because I definitely see that argument, and I think that he probably would step aside if he lost to KU for sure.
Yeah.
But also, let me play the other side of the coin and say, if, you know, Bill Snyder has always said, I wanted to bring the program or, you know, calm the waters, put it back in a good place. And if you're losing to Kansas, are you really leaving the program in a good place right now? So
even if you beat Kansas and you finish 5-7, that you still didn't accomplish that.
Well, right, yeah. I'm just speaking the Kansas game specifically right now, and it's just thinking, man, I could definitely see Coach saying, I'm not going to let my last season of my historic football career end with a loss to David Beatty in Kansas.
Right.
So, you know, you're not really sure which one's going to go down. Bottom line, though, whether it means Bill Snyder stays, whether it means Bill Snyder goes, I don't care. You need to beat Kansas, period.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. confused. Because this is not a bad football team that, in terms of its talent level against a team like Kansas. You know, this is a team that we thought might win 8-9 games. And obviously we were way off the mark on that, but I still think they have the pieces to beat Kansas. I don't think TCU is that good of a team necessarily. I think KU kind of caught them in a bad week. And KU, while they have some talented players, definitely, I'm not trying to diminish that. You know, this still is the same team that lost to Nicholls State. So whether it means 3-9, 4-8, 5-7, I don't care. You know, you got to beat Kansas, and then let the whole Coach Snyder thing take care of itself. But no matter what, just beat Kansas. That's all I can say. You just got to beat Kansas.
Well, and you bring up a good point, because I've thought this as well, is that when you're a great coach, you don't want to go out on a low note. Well, that means he's coming back next year. If that's what you believe, he's coming back next year. I mean, because if he wins his final four, he's 7-5, so then it'll be like, well, hey, he once again, Coach Snyder salvaged what looked like a non-bowl season, so we're okay. And if they lose, let's go 4-8, 5-7, if they're 6-6, they lose the rest of their games, the same argument still applies if you believe Coach Snyder's not going to go out on a bad note. And so that means Bill Snyder's coming back next year, right?
Well, that's what makes the question so tough when anybody asks me, you know, is Coach Snyder done? Because if you put a gun to my head right now and said, you know, is he coming back next year, yes or no, I'd say no. You know, I don't think he's going to – I think this is it. But also, that's the only reason that I don't definitively say it. You know, I don't know what he's thinking. I know the type of person he is. I know he doesn't want to be non-competitive, and he doesn't want to leave his team with a 4-8 mark. You know, he doesn't – this is literally unfolding exactly like 03, 04, 05,
uh-huh.
where you have a pretty good season, then you fall off hard, and then you kind of piece it together. You're not atrocious, but you're not good. And it's literally the same exact way he retired the first time. So I can see him not wanting to do that. You know, like I said, my gut feels this is it. It's too much right now. And to quote him, you know, I'm always going to stay here until I stop having a positive impact on young people and on the program. And right now I don't think he necessarily is having a positive impact. I mean, try to argue that he is. But like I said, he's not a guy that's going to quit when times get tough. So maybe he does come back for another year. It's so tough to know. You know, maybe I'll go to a press conference here in, 2 hours, I think, and maybe he'll step aside. I don't know what he's going to do, and it's so tough to figure it out because – I don't have the answer. Fitz doesn't have the answer. Gene Taylor probably doesn't have the answer. I think only one person right now has the answer, and that's Bill Snyder.
If Kansas State is not willing to coax or try to talk Bill Snyder into stepping aside, and they're going to leave it up to Bill Snyder, my feeling is he'll be back next year because of a couple of things that we've talked about for a long time. One, he's stubborn. Okay. Two, he's turned things around before multiple times. Why couldn't he do it again? I'm sure he's thinking that. He even said that in teleconference yesterday. Well, is this like kind of the worst situation you've been in, and is this a different challenge? He goes, no, we've done it before. So he has the confidence there. The other thing I think Coach Snyder doesn't want to be labeled is, and I don't think a lot of people would say he is this, but obviously you step aside, and he did step aside one time before, so maybe this isn't a big thing, but you could be labeled as a quitter because things got rough. Things are as bad as they have been under Coach Snyder, and some people could argue, well, he's going to run from it, and that would mean he's a quitter, and he might say, I don't want to be labeled a quitter. So I can see various scenarios here with his thinking process that, yes, deep down he may know, like you said, that I want this to be in a good place when I leave, and he may even deep down know that there might be a chance it won't be. But golly, I've done it a couple times before. Why can't I do it again? And I don't trust anybody else to do it. And if I'm still healthy enough to do it, then I'm coming back. I could see that going through his head as well.
Oh, I definitely could too, you know, and I agree with you. I think it's going to have to come down to if K-State wants a change, not what they want, what Bill Snyder wants. K-State, Gene Taylor, President Myers, everybody involved, the boosters, if they all say it is time for a change, they are going to have to go to him and say, Coach, we feel it is the best interest of this program to step aside and let someone else take it over, because I don't necessarily think he's going to come to that conclusion on his own.
Yep.
Maybe he's thinking it, and maybe he will do it if someone tells him, but I don't think he's going to definitively say, I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this, you know, I think if he can't today, let's say he does it today, and he stood in front of the media and said, you know, I've always said that I'm going to stay as long as I am positively impacting the program, as long as I feel I'm doing good for K-State, and anymore today I don't feel I am doing good by the program, I guarantee you fans wouldn't care if you went 3-9, 4-8, 5-7, whatever. I think they'd be frustrated, but if they said, look, you know, Coach did it as long as he could, and when he realized he wasn't doing it well anymore, he stepped aside, I think fans would appreciate it. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think if he owned it and just realized that they're not a very good team and realized he may be, him stepping down may be the fix, I think fans would appreciate it. I think it would be a lot happier of an ending than it looks like it's going to be right now, and I think that's what would be best for Bill Snyder and for K-State.
Dude, I totally agree. I think K-State Nation would completely, completely respect it. I think they would completely respect it, and that would be his way of kind of salvage things a little bit if he did that, whether it be the day after the final game and he comes to that conclusion, or like you said, if it's later today. We don't anticipate that, by the way. We don't have any inside information to say he's going to. He won't let anybody know that if those are his plans. And it doesn't sound like he says, hey, I'm gonna figure this out at the end of the season like I always do. So if he does step down, it more than likely won't be until after the season is over. But I'm with you there. I think people would highly respect that because then he'd be a man of his word in regards to what he said before. All right, shifting gears real quick before I let you go. Men's basketball this Friday. It's usually Kansas is always talking about, hey, can't wait for basketball season. But the way this football season's gone for the Wildcats, and with the basketball team coming back that made it to Elite Eight last year, K-State fans are actually probably what? Ready for basketball?
More than ready. there's a large excitement right now for K-State basketball, which is a really weird thing to think about. You
yes.
know, how many years do you sit here and say, oh man, I'm excited for K-State basketball? And let me tell you this, if you'd have said 3 years ago that you were excited for a Bruce Weber coach K-State team,
yes,
I don't even know how to fathom that. So it's a really weird position to be in, especially to have a top 12, top 13, whatever poll you're looking at team. But it's definitely, the bar is definitely high, and heck, Bruce Weber keeps setting it even higher. So we'll see how this team handles, the nation's expectations and their coach's expectations.
Yeah. He said something about lack of respect or something. Like, dude, you're ranked in the top 12 in the country and you're picked second behind a team that's won the title 14 years in a row. I don't know what other respect you want in regards to the recognition. I know he wanted more recognition for Wade as an All-American, but he's a preseason Big 12 player of the year. I don't understand that. But anyway, basketball season starts this Friday, exhibition for K-State against Pittsburgh State. Time for the off-the-wall question. I got two of them real quick for you, Riley. Best Halloween candy to receive when you're trick-or-treating. Halloween's tomorrow night. What's the best candy to get?
Ooh. My favorite is a Milky Way.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I like Milky Ways. Ask Dusty. He would probably tell you that.
Yeah.
But also a very close second, it's like a 1A, 1B thing, is definitely a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Okay, that's a good one. I like the Three Musketeers myself, but I'm with you. Oddest Halloween costume you have worn or seen someone else wear? Oddest Halloween costume you have worn or seen someone else wear?
This is too easy. This is too easy.
Sorry.
Ron Prince. I went as Ron Prince.
Did you walk around downtown Manhattan as Ron Prince? Because if you did, you wouldn't be here today.
No. Did not do that. It would have been 06, 07, 08, whenever he was the coach.
Uh-huh.
I put on khaki pants, uh-huh. K-State polo. I took glue and glued coffee grounds around my mouth to make it look like a goatee. And then I went to Alco. It was Alco at the time.
Uh-huh.
And there was like this mohawk skull cap thing that you put on.
Yeah.
And I bought it and I cut the mohawk off. And then I was bald. So honestly, it was an amazing costume. Like, honestly, one of the best costumes I've ever pieced together.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, it's not one that I'm necessarily, quote, proud of.
Yeah, I bet. I got to see a picture of that. Somebody in your family.
It's out there.
All right. Well, I know people know you well, so I'm sure I could get a hold of that pretty quickly. I guarantee you. All right. What are you currently working on at GoPowerCat.com, Riley?
Yeah, I actually just pushed out a story last night at about 8:30 p.m.-ish. K-State's got another recruit coming in a couple weeks, basketball 2019 guard, so that's up on the site with some information on that. And then, we'll have some football coverage this week and go down to Fort Worth. We'll cover the game, win, lose, or draw. So it's been an interesting season, but still plugging away, still pumping out content on a daily.
Well, you do a wonderful job. We appreciate the time every Tuesday, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, Riley. Take care, man.
All right, thanks, Wade.
All right, Riley Gates, our guest every single Tuesday, our K-State Insider, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Every Tuesday, that's Go Power Cats, Riley Gates.